You look back on your parents or your parents' parents, and maybe you don't see a long line of people who knew the Lord or who knew Christ and who passed that on to you. And, well, you can start it. And I can share with you this morning how to start that, okay? And I'm going to share with you this morning how to have that solid foundation. You might want to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read to you verses 24 through 27 in Matthew chapter 7. And you can follow along in our outline this morning if you'd like also. And let's see what Jesus has to say about foundations here in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. These are the words of Jesus. He says here, starting in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Okay? A great crash. You don't want to be that person that built their foundation on sand. All right? Shifting sand, changing sand. And when the storms of life come, it falls. You don't want to be that person. Think about foundations. You know, when you think of foundation, you think of a strong, you know, cement slab, you know, foundation for a home, no cracks in it, solid, rock solid, bedrock foundation, and a house built on that is a good, sound structure, and it's able to stand and withstand storms and a lot of difficulties and things like that. Just like in our lives, in the storms of life, someone or a person or a family that's built on the foundation of Christ, they'll have stability and clarity and direction and purpose and understanding. And when a life or a family is built on the foundation of Christ, that foundation, it's not going to change in the winds of culture. That foundation is not going to be compromised in the crowd of popularity. That foundation will not give up when times are difficult. That foundation will not be lost when challenged by persecution, hardship, and temptation. That foundation will provide a strong sense of what is right and what is wrong. This is what a strong foundation will do. So how can we have a strong foundation for our life and for our family, for our children and for our children's children and for generations to come? That's the question this morning. How can we provide that kind of foundation, that solid bedrock-like foundation for our family and our children and our life that we can build on? Number one, let me share with you this morning, watch out for the rising tide of immorality. Okay? When I think of rising tide, I think of, it wasn't long ago, you know, we saw on TV that terrible, horrific image of this tsunami, this earthquake and the tsunami that overtook Japan and killed us hundreds of people. And that was a rising tide. Okay, not a good time to get your surfboard and hang five and say, "Hang tough, dude." That's not a good time to do that. All right? And, you know, I also think about the storms that even our country's going through right now, like the terrible storm. Did you hear? You had to hear this week about, was it Joplin, Missouri? Didn't they say that was the worst tornado on record in America? And it killed, over 130 something people or more? 42. So we need to pray for them. We need to pray for those folks and remember them, keep them in our prayers. And what a terrible storm that was. It just wiped out a whole community. So, you know, these are terrible storms, and we see these a lot of times. There's even a more worse storm than that we've got to watch out for that's overtaking America. And if you're not careful, it's going to overtake your life. It's going to overtake your children. And it's this rising tide of immorality that's taking place. And it's happening in families. It's happening in schools. It's happening in the community. It's happening even in churches. This rising tide of immorality and strong biblical family values. There's a rising tide that's waging battle against this. And we've got to learn how to battle this and protect and provide for our families. Do you hear me this morning? This is so important. We've got to watch out for this, okay? View of homosexuality, okay? A rising tide. Watch out for it. All kinds of sexual immorality happening in our country today. These things we've got to watch out for. There's more. You know, I don't have to go through a bunch of statistics to convince you. Hopefully, I don't have to go through a bunch of statistics this morning to convince you of stuff like, you know, families that are broken, and, you know, 50% of families that end in divorce, and even those other 50%, how dysfunctional, there's so much dysfunction there, and there's such a lack of direction and domestic violence and all these things. And, you know, see, the enemy has a plan, too. His plan is to take God's plan, which is God's plan is for the two become one. The enemy's plan is to take that one and make them two again. Okay? And you don't want to fall prey to that. Some of you already have. What do you do then? Well, you rebuild. And you build on a solid foundation of Christ. Now, we see here in Matthew 7, verse 25, that don't be that foolish person that built their foundation on sand. Don't do that. Don't be that person. There has been a great shift in our foundations over the last 100 years in America. Would you agree with that? I want you to think about it some this morning. With moral decay of families, children no longer have a solid foundation on which to stand. Listen to me. Stick with me this morning. The result is drifting families lost in a sea of hurt and confusion and immorality with no leadership, no direction, no strategy, and no vision for their life. This is a tragedy. This is a terrible thing, and we've got to overcome it. We've got to figure this out, and we've got to protect. You've got to protect your life, your marriage, your family, your children, and their children. We've got to protect them. We've got to build on the solid foundation of Christ. What foundations in our country are being destroyed? I want you to think about it. I've listed some here that might be under attack. And we've got to make sure that we take care of these family values: marriage, mothers, fathers, strong work ethic, freedom, sanctity of human life, purity and truth and Bible and prayer, respect for others, masculine sons and feminine daughters. These are things that families need to have a sure foundation. The rising tide of immorality is waging war and battle against this. And we've lost some battles. We've won some battles. But you better make sure that you stand on the sure rock of Christ and make sure that your family, that your life and your family can withstand the storms and the rising tide of immorality that's happening in our country today, right here in Alamance County and surrounding area. How do you do that? Well, you watch out for the rising tide. Number two, you build on the solid rock of Christ. And it starts with you and your circle of influence. Okay? Matthew 7, 24. You want to be that person that stands on the rock of Christ. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching, Jesus says, and follows it is wise. Be wise, not foolish. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. The New Living Translation says it this way: though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. Bedrock. Jesus made it very clear what that bedrock looks like in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. He said this. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You see, this is what happens. You stop a family from drifting when you get anchored in Christ. That's what's got to happen. If your family is drifting, if you see your children drifting, if you see your wife, if you see your husband drifting from Christ, drifting and lost and confused and in this moral chaos that's around in our communities today, then you need to get anchored in Christ and to share Christ with them so you can put down anchor and so that you can withstand the storms and so you can build on the solid rock of Christ and be safe from the storm. That's what you got to do. You got to get anchored in Christ. So how do you get anchored in Christ? How do you do all that? Well, I want you to watch this video. I want to show you a video. I want to call your attention to the monitors, to the screens here. And just to reinforce this point, I want you to watch this.
song about two sets of Joneses, Rothschild, Evelyn, Reuben, and Sue. Just for discussion through random selection, we've chosen two couples who haven't a clue. Rothschild was lucky to marry so wealthy. Evelyn bought him a house on the beach. Reuben and Sue, they had nothing but Jesus, and at night they would pray that he cared for them each. And the rain came down, and it blew the four walls down, and the clouds, they rolled away. And one set of Joneses was standing that day. Evelyn's daddy was proud of young Rothschild. He worked the late hours to be number one. Just newlyweds and their marriage got rocky. He's flying to Dallas, she's having a son. Reuben was holding Gideon's Bible, and he screamed, "It's a boy," so that everyone heard. And the guys at the factory took a collection, and again God provided for bills he'd incurred. And the rain came down, and it blew the four walls down, and the clouds, they rolled away. And one set of Joneses was standing that day. What is the point of this story? What am I trying to say? Well, is your life built on the rock of Christ Jesus, or a sandy foundation you've managed to lay? Well, needless to say, Evelyn left her husband and sued him for every penny he had. I truly wish that those two would find Jesus before things get worse than they already have. And the rain came down, and it blew the four walls down, and the clouds, they rolled away. And one set of Joneses was standing that day. And the rain came down, and it blew the four walls down, and the clouds, they rolled away. There's two sets of Joneses. Which ones will you be? Light-de-di, 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 light-de-di.
Two sets of Joneses. Which one will you be? I wonder if you share the same burden that I have on my heart and on my mind this morning. I don't know about you, but I have a burden for families. I've got a burden for our children. I've got a burden for our schools. You know, building on this solid rock, you know, what does it look like? Where does it start? How do you do that? How do you build on this solid rock of Christ? How do you build this foundation? You know, the way I believe it starts is you get a burden and you become broken. over the brokenness. You're like, oh, God. Oh, God, forgive us. Heal us. Help us. Sometimes the best prayer we can pray is just a cry to God. And you begin to realize the brokenness of your situation, and then you begin to cry out to the Lord for help, and then you begin to seek God, and you begin to pursue Christ and get to know Jesus. I want you to look here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and I want you to look very closely and pay careful attention about that person who built his house on the solid rock of Christ that withstood the test of time, that was able to stand when the storms and the floodwaters and everything and the winds came against it. It says here that anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. So that brings me to my third point. Be a listener and a doer of God's word. If you want to build your life on the solid rock of Christ, and to help your children do that, and your children's children to do that. When you come to Christ and you begin to get anchored in Christ, the next step, the next thing you need to be doing is you need to be getting in this word and listening to it, reading it, studying it, meditate on it, and doing it. In fact, the best thing you might need to do is just go out and get you a Bible that's like a red letter edition that has the words of Christ in red letters, and just read the words of Jesus. Take however long it takes to do that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read all the red letters. Read the words of Jesus and begin to practice that and begin to ask yourself, what does that look like in the context where I am? I need to be the representative of Christ in my family, in my community, in my church, in my school, right here where I am. What does that look like? Jesus, help me do that and begin to do it. I love the way James says it in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Man, he makes it real clear, as if it wasn't clear already. He says, understand this. My dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Now listen to this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Only fooling yourselves. When you listen to the word of God and don't do it. See, the problem is that we know what we ought to do, but we don't do it. And that's sin, and it separates us from God and causes all kinds of problems in our family life and in our life and all over the place. So what we've got to watch out for is that this is proof. These scriptures that I've shared with you this morning is proof that you can be in church for years and you can hear God's word and never do it. Never do it. That would be a tragedy. There's people that have done that. You know people have done that. You know, hopefully we don't have anybody like that here, right? But anyway, beware, watch out, be careful. Don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself. See, the difference between wisdom and obedience, you don't know what the difference between wisdom and obedience is? Wisdom is, you know, knowing what you ought to do and how to apply knowledge, but obedience is actually doing it. That's the difference. Wisdom is more about knowing and realizing what you ought to do and how to do it, but obedience is actually doing it. So we got to practice and follow and do and apply God's word to our everyday life and do what he calls us to do. As you follow Christ, you cut a path of clarity that your children can step through and follow in your footsteps. I'm telling you, children don't have a whole lot of that this day and time. They don't. You need to wake up. You know, maybe it's because my daughter is, you know, rising until the ninth grade this, you know, here soon and getting into high school, and I'm concerned. I've got a burden for our children. You know, I see children, and you know, if I had a compass in my hand right here this morning, where would that compass be pointing? North. Be pointing to true north. You know, and that compass would provide direction. there's not a lot of children that have true direction in their life. They need a true north in their life that says, hey, this is the way to go. This is what you ought to do. This is how you do it. Come follow me. I will show you. It's not do as I say do. It's do as I do. That's the difference. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? There's this big problem in a lot of churches, and I call it confused Christian kids. You know why we have confused Christian kids? It's because we have a lot of people who hear the Word of God, but they don't do the Word of God. They see mom and daddy at church on Sunday, but they're not the same people when they get home Monday through Saturday. And it causes all kind of confusion in children's lives. That mama, that daddy, they're one person with everybody else during the week, but when they get back home, they're somebody different. And they get confused. And they get confused. You don't want to be that parent. I don't want to be that parent. How do we guard against that? Get anchored in Christ. Follow Christ. As you follow Christ, you'll have a path of clarity for your children to follow. What ways do you plan to build a solid foundation for your family? I want to give you some tools this morning. It's in your What's Up. I want you to kind of check or put an X there beside the ones that you want to start practicing in your life that you believe will help provide a solid foundation for your family. Let's just go through some of these. And, you know, not all of these are necessarily going to provide that solid foundation that you need. Let's look at some of them. How about, it's kind of hard to see, it's kind of a little writing, but I'll read them to you. It says here, buying expensive things. Is that going to provide that solid foundation that your children need? No, probably not. Now, your wife might appreciate it every now and then when it's your anniversary or something like that, right, ladies? Okay, you appreciate, you know, that every now and then. So, you know, we need to do that sometimes. But it's not going to provide that real solid foundation that a family really needs. What are some of the other things that we need to think about? Read your Bible every day. Daily Bible reading. Do you do that? Does your family see you do that? How about spending time together often? I know it's difficult. I know it's, you know, being a father or being a mother today is like a juggling act. You know, you got all this stuff going on I've heard families who, you know, mom and dad, they're not only working one job, they're working two jobs, and one of them might be working three jobs, you know, and when do they spend all this time with their, you know, when do they spend time with their family, whether or not, and you've got to decide which set of Joneses you're going to be. But anyway, the deal is you also have to, how about honor and respect your wife or husband? Your children see that. The best gift that you can give your children is to honor and respect your wife or your husband. They need to see that modeled. They don't know how to do that unless you show them. It's the best gift you can give them. How about recreation, sports, and athletics? That's a good thing. But does it provide the solid foundation you really need when the storms of life really come? No. You need more than just that. How about attending recitals and performances? Again, that's good stuff. Nothing wrong with that, but when that gets in the way of building a solid foundation, it's not going to stand the test of time. How about practicing a nutritious diet? Very important. Thank God for parents who, you know, that's their platform and that's an important part, but you got to have more than just that. Pray together every day, you know, praying for one another. Your children hear you praying for them, praying for yourself. How about attend church regularly? How about school and homework? Again, school and homework, you know, need that, very important, okay? But you need more than just that. You not only need education, you need regeneration in Christ. Education is not the answer for our children today. The answer is Jesus. The answer is get anchored in Christ. The answer is strong leadership in the home from mom and daddy who love Jesus. Education will help, it's part of it, but it is not the answer. How about Christ? I mean, okay, he is the foundation. He is the rock which we're to build on. Look to Christ. Get to know the Gospels and follow Christ and do what he would have you to do. Money and fun vacations. You know, that's good fun, but it won't stand the test of time. Number four, consider the rewards for now and future generations when you build on the solid rock of Christ. Consider the rewards. See, you're not only raising children, those of you that are parents, but you're raising children raisers. You're raising children who are going to eventually raise children who are eventually going to raise children for the next generation and the next generation and the next. And I don't know if you ever really looked at it. You know, we don't think about that a whole lot, But I want you to listen to Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. God's word says this: "Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands." Man, how cool would it be that if you got anchored in Christ, that you'd be so blessed because you're so anchored in Christ. You just love Jesus and you love your family so much that not only are you blessed and your children are blessed, but your children's children are blessed and their children to 1,000 generations. I can't even comprehend that. Are blessed because they all learn from somebody that was willing to say, you know what, hey, I'm going to put a stake in the ground. This is a spiritual marker. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord from this day forward. I don't care what anybody else says, what anybody else thinks. I'm going to love Jesus, and I'm going to share Jesus, and we're going to be as much like Jesus as we can be. That's what it's all about. That's what we need. That's the answer. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. And there's still room at the cross for all those that have come to Christ. That's the way it happens. So, you should be a legend in your family in 100 years because of your commitment. You are what you're committed to, right? Because of your commitment to your family and your love for Jesus Christ. You lead a family for 100 years by following Jesus Christ today with your whole heart. Not just half of your heart. Not confusing the ones who you love the most, but serving and loving God with your whole heart. Totally committed, 100% committed, totally surrendered to Christ. No longer playing the games, but actually living out what you say you believe. You know, I shared with you a little bit earlier about my family. Let me go a little further in my family. I want to share with you something that I've just kind of seen, and Christy, you correct me if I'm wrong. You help me out here. But, you know, I'm one of the legends in our family is, I believe, my father-in-law. And you've seen him here before. He's like, you know, the tall guy. He's about 6'4", and he looks like Tom Selleck, you know. And you've probably seen him here before. But my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, I appreciate my in-laws. And he's a legend. Let me share with you why he's a living legend. We love hearing his stories about how he grew up. You know, he grew up dirt poor in Hazel, North Carolina, in the mountains of North Carolina. And you know what? You know, we talk about how he raised, you know, Christy and Christy's sister and all the stories. And, you know, Caitlin, don't you love hearing those stories about how they came up and about, you know, Paw and how he, you know, what God has done in his life. And you know, we love hearing all those stories. But you know what? We don't hear a whole lot of stories about his daddy or his daddy's daddy. Okay? And let me share with you why. Because you know what? You know, Paw, my father-in-law, he really didn't have someone to look up to follow Christ. He didn't have nobody to really show him that, really, in skin, right? And you know, and he comes from the, you know, this family that struggles with that and who just are not in touch with that. They don't understand that at all. But when Christy was about, how old were you, about 10 years old? You know, all of a sudden God grabbed him and he began to get right with God. And he began to get rightly related to Jesus. He won his wife to Jesus. He won his daughter to Jesus. He won his other daughter to Jesus. Both of those daughters married pastors. I say he's done pretty good. He's a living legend. Okay? He's a living legend in our family. And you know what? He's going to be a legend for a while, for at least 100 years. Because not only am I going to be talking about him, but my children are going to be talking about him. And we look up to him. You need to be a legend. You can be a legend. Maybe when you look back, you don't have a mom or a daddy that you can look back on and be thankful that's done that. But you know what? You can be that person right now. You can start today. And you can be that new link. You can be the key link in the chain of the generations of your family. It doesn't matter who your ancestors are. It matters who you are and who your children are going to become. That's what matters. See, this is what, let me just give you an assignment. Just to kind of help you with this. Ask your family, what do you believe about God? You know, hopefully your family isn't totally like mine because I have a wife and 3 daughters and I can't hardly get a word in edgewise, okay? All right. Okay, and we just talk all the time. Communicate. You know what? I'm real thankful for that, and I don't want to do anything to hinder that because, you know, we got to communicate with our children. And But man, we're talking, I'm always talking to them, what do they believe about God, and who is that, and what does he look like, and how are you supposed to act, and stuff like that. And here's another question. Do you believe that absolute truth is essential to life? What is truth? Is there absolute truth? What does that look like? Where do you get it from? Where do you start? You know, we need to talk about these things with our family, with our husband, with our wife, with our children. How about, what is your attitude towards sexuality today? Okay, both of my middle school daughters, I had to sign this paper recently about, I think, some kind of class or thing called Family Life or something like that, and you know what it is. It's the sex talk, and it's about, you know, the birds and the bees and all that stuff, and I went ahead and signed it, and I let them go through the class, but you better believe when they get home, I'm talking to them about that stuff. Hey, what'd you learn today? Tell me about it. Let's talk about it. Talk to Mama about it. I'm usually saying talk to Mama about it. But anyway, if I had a son, they'd probably be talking to me more about it. But anyway, so, you know, thankful for that. But anyway, but hey, if they don't learn from Mom and Daddy, hey, I'm telling my girls what I think about that stuff too. And you know, and if they don't learn from Mom and Daddy, you know, they're going to learn from somebody else, and it's probably not going to be good. Okay? And you know, you got to talk about those things. What things are you going to pursue in life and why? Talk about your hopes and your dreams, and just talk about these things with your children. And if you are able to be open and honest with your children, just keep it real and be genuine and transparent and vulnerable, and then your children will be honest with you. They really will. Brutally honest sometimes. And you know what? They can spot a fake a mile away and farther, much quicker than us adults can. Don't be half-hearted in this. Serve and love God with your whole heart. A solid foundation takes a lifetime to build. It starts right now with you. And you and you and you and me and every one of us. And it is possible to lose it in one moment of weakness. And that's how I want to close today. And I want you to think about this. One moment of weakness. Now, it takes a lifetime to build this solid foundation. And the first 7 years are critically important for those of you that have young children. You instill good family values and hopefully they'll come to know Christ at an early age and grow up to learn to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that they'll never wander from God, but God's will be accomplished in their life all their days. It can happen. I'm not saying be perfect, but I'm saying changed, different. Okay? Are you with me? Okay? I know we can't be perfect, but we serve a perfect God who helps us and leads us and guides us and forgives us. And we can be different. So what I'm getting at is it takes a lifetime to build. And you know people, and you've seen people that they've built this solid foundation. And man, it was like they were spiritual giants. But all of a sudden, they had a great fall. There was a moral failure. And in just one moment of weakness, they lost everything that they had built in their life and in their ministry. We've seen this on TV with pastors and others. How do you protect yourself from that one moment of weakness and guard yourself from that one moment of weakness so you can build a solid foundation that your family can build on and that your children can build on, your children's children can build on? Well, it starts with Christ. It starts right now. I want to just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I wonder how many of us here this morning would be honest with ourselves and honest with God. And you'd be willing to admit, you know what, I've never really started building that foundation on Christ, but I want to do it today. And I want to start building my family and my life on the foundation of Christ. If that be the desire of your heart, you might just want to pray a prayer like this in your heart to God. You might just want to say, God, forgive me. I've made a mess of things. Thank you, Jesus. You died on the cross for me. And arose from the grave for me. Save me now, Jesus. I commit my life to you the best way I know how. Help me understand it more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's a start. That's the beginning of some for some of you.